where we're not doing what we should be doing. And Scripture's pretty clear that he wants to find us doing what he wants us to be doing when he returns. And that's hopefully where we'll be. It might be just a little hot, is it? All right. I don't know about you, but for the last weeks, I can't seem to get away from thinking about Chris Parsons and the struggle she's going through. And it's checking me out here in my faith. Faith for healing, faith in God, faith in His Word. And so I'm going to talk a little about faith today. Probably just as much for me as anybody. So, faith. Took me a while to come up with the second part there, but it's the identifying attribute of God's children. Faith. We need to be people of faith. And we want to have that identity, and it's carried on through the whole gambit of Scripture. So let's just pray here. Father, I want so much to be in tune with you. There's something in my heart is grabbing on to what Paul said, that I might know you, Lord, the power of your resurrection. Enter into the fellowship of your suffering, Lord. But Lord, that we might know all that you are and all that we are, so that we might walk in a way that's pleasing to you, in a way that sees your glory filling the whole earth, in a way that sees your glory manifested in our presence. So Lord, help us today to increase in us faith, your faith, for it needs to come from you, Lord. Amen. So it's not only God's attribute of faith, but it's the ever-increasing attribute of every Christian, or at least it should be. The ever-increasing attribute of us should be that we're growing and manifesting more faith all the time. It's the only acceptable relationship we have with God, that we relate to Him by faith. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's Scripture. Faith is believing in more than the natural mind is willing to accept. If you have just a natural thinking, you may stop at a certain place. But faith takes you further. Faith takes you beyond the natural into the supernatural, into something that's beyond what our natural mind can ever come up with or ever believe. Your natural mind will not believe in the things of God. We need faith. Whatever isn't of faith, it says, is missing the mark. Whatever isn't of faith misses the mark. And another term for missing the mark with God is called sin. So if you're shooting an arrow and you didn't hit the bullseye, you see, you're off You missed the mark. Well, we can be close, but God wants us to hit the mark. He wants us to hit the bullseye. He wants us to believe in Him and have faith. So we'll go back to Genesis here. And after these words, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, or Abram, in a vision, saying, "Do not fear. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Your reward shall be very great. And Abraham says to God, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless?" I mean, could have had a yellow vet. Could have had something. Somewhere along the line, Abraham was not thinking about himself. Abraham had a vision beyond himself. He was thinking, "What could you give me?" He was thinking about a family. He was thinking about a future. He was thinking about something beyond his own life. "What could you give me since I'm childless?" He wanted something to pass on, something to go further than himself. What could you give me since I'm childless? We will see that to be the case as God was looking to us. We'll see that what He was saying, "Your reward will be very great." God was looking to you when He spoke that. He was looking right into your heart. He was looking to us. When He spoke those words, "Your reward will be very great," God was speaking about you and about those of us today and tomorrow. And He was speaking about all the generations. To Abraham. God had us in mind. God had you in mind. Way back in Genesis. A little later it says, "One will come forth from your body. He shall be your heir." And He took him outside and said, "Now look towards the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them." And He said, "So shall your descendants be." And then Abraham said something that gets quoted several places in the Bible. "Then he believed in the Lord, and He reckoned it to him to be righteousness." So when Abraham believed in God, it was reckoned to Abraham righteousness. Believing by faith. By actually believing what God says. By actually taking Him at His word. And bypassing our natural thinking and going supernatural. I suppose it'd be like somebody, go ballistic. Go beyond. You have to get beyond the natural thinking when you think of God. It's like it was said, we're aliens and strangers here. We probably don't like to be called aliens because the word aliens on the TV screen looks pretty weird. But we're not part of this natural world. We have been taken into a different kingdom. So this scripture, Abraham believed God, that comes up in Romans 4:3 and Galatians 3:6 and James 2:23, Psalms 106. You know, when you start seeing something come over and over, you realize that that's a serious thing. God brings it up again. Believing in God. Believing in Him. Louis and I get together on Tuesday mornings. It's basically Louis and I. Anybody can come, but... Louis was telling me the other day, he said, you know, if we don't believe God for this, then we might as well just go home. And that's exactly right. If we don't believe God for healing, then why even pray? We need to believe God. Believe Him. There's all kinds of things. I don't know about you, but there's all kinds of things that can bring doubt. I don't know if you've ever experienced doubt. If you say no, I doubt it. I'll experience a little doubt. But he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Okay. Now, when Abraham was 99, that's, if I get to be 99, just that alone will be a great leap of faith. Although my mom is 91, we're going to go see her this afternoon, and that gives me some hope. But here's Abraham. He was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, Sarah shall be your name. They're changing the name. And I will bless her. They changed the name from Sarai to Sarah. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now, here's the same guy, 13 years earlier, believed God, and it was considered to him as righteousness, and now he's falling on his face and laughing. And I got a terrible picture when I read that. You know? I mean, usually you start laughing and then you just can't stand up. But here's a man of faith. How many of you have believed God at one point and given up to the point where you think it's probably just laughter? Well, here's Abraham. He's a real person. He's not just someone who always did it right. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man who's 100? I mean, he's 99. He knows that it's going to probably be a little while. Of course, in that 13 years, he comes back from the promise when he believed God, and his wife says, you know, if we're going to have a kid, it's not going to be by me. Why don't you have a kid with my maid here? And Abraham fell for that one and had this other child in the meantime. Tried to do something naturally. Tried to fulfill something naturally. When God was into the supernatural. Have you stopped believing for some of the things that God's told you? Has God actually spoken to you about some things that haven't come to pass yet? I tell you, don't quit believing. We're not going to quit believing just because we don't see it today. Just because we don't catch wind of it right now. We're not going to stop believing what God has said. For your life. You know, there's some things that don't come to pass right away. When I was 7 years old, I had a word from the Lord. Son, the pastor said, Lutheran pastor, standing up with my mom, he put his hand on my head, son, one day you'll be a pastor. You know, those words didn't leave me, although I did a lot of things before I became a pastor. But God does bring things about in His own time, in His own way. We're not going to quit believing for Chris's healing. And I'm calling every one of us to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. God has not forgotten what He told you, and your bouts of unbelief have not changed God's heart. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I quit believing, so why start again? I say, start again. Start again. Believe again. Believe again. All things are possible with God. It's never too late to believe, even if your present condition prohibits you from doing what God said. Maybe things have changed so drastically in your life that you can't even, you're not physically able to do what God said. Well, does that really matter? If God said it, can He do something supernatural in your life and in the life of others? He is not stopped by things of this earth, which He created, by the way. I mean, He made us to beginning. He made us to start with. We're not just ordinary people. And we don't have an ordinary God. We have a supernatural, extraordinary God who does extraordinary things, who isn't limited by what we think and what our eyes can see and what our physical realm can do. He goes beyond, and He will continue to go beyond. His life is a life of the supernatural. So, even though Abraham laughed, you have to understand Sarah laughed too later, but Abraham was a leading laugher. Sarah got rebuked a little bit, and then Sarah said, I didn't laugh. And they said, oh, yes, you did. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him, Abraham called the name of his son born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. God of the impossible. God of the impossible. So God gave Abraham a son. Abraham's faith probably took a big leap at that point. Oh man, I can really believe now. and that's true. I was talking to Rocky. Rocky was talking to me about how revivals start. Seems like that first miracle seems to take something for a body to press in for. But after that first miracle, faith rises up. The next miracle comes easier because our faith is more. We believe more. And it was just, Rocky's been studying about revivals. And I can see that. And I'm sure Abraham's faith leaped, and then some years later he says, hey, Abraham, let's take your son and sacrifice him now that I've given him to you. What? You know, I mean, to believe God means we got to believe God. It doesn't mean that we go someplace and then we forget God. No, God gets the final say all the time in our life.
We don't get to get so far and then I can handle it from here, Lord. No, we can't handle it. We have to continue believing in God for every step of the way. So you might say, how does this affect me today? Well, God has not changed. He is what He is, and He values what He values. God's still looking for people of faith. That's what He's looking for in me and in you. It's actually more closely related even than that. So let's go to the New Testament. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of the father David." Another impossible task. "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, the power of the Highest, shall overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. I think that's very similar to, she believed God and it was counted to her as righteousness. She believed God. She believed. Had she just thought just for a few seconds, but this is going to create a big trouble for me. I mean, this is not going to be easy for me. Oh man, what's Joseph going to think now? Let's see, how can I tell Joseph? The Spirit of the Lord has given me a child. The Spirit came upon me and I'm now pregnant. These are unbelievable things. But she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me. How would you like to explain that one to your fiancé? It wouldn't be good news. It would sound like bad news. Well, Joseph had to get updated a little bit. And during his sleep, an angel come to him. And "Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. This is all legitimate. This is a good thing." And Joseph believed too. "Be it unto me according to thy word." God is the God of the impossible. He wants us to be believers in Him. I want to kind of tie this together a little bit, this story and the other story that we had, the story of Abraham and the story of Jesus. In Galatians 3 it says, "Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then, that those who believe are children of Abraham." You ever wonder why Christians are called believers? Are you a believer? "Oh yes, I'm a Christian." I think we have to update that and say, no, are you a believer? Sometimes we call ourselves Christians, but we're really not believers. At least, I'm looking at, I've always considered myself a believer. But right now, I believe the Lord is wanting to give us something as a body.
He wants us to increase in our faith. He wants us to believe more than we believed before. He wants us to be ever increasing in our identity of faith. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. So here the New Testament refers back to Abraham and says, those who believe are his children and are included in the promise. We see the characteristic or the defining substance to be considered children of Abraham is faith. The promise to Abraham is extended to us by
faith.
By faith. Did it go or
no? There it goes.
Okay. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The Scripture does not say unto seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. Now we know, and you can look at the Scripture and realize that the promise that was given to Abraham was given to his personal descendants and to Israel. But in this case, Paul, by revelation, gets the seed that he's talking about, and that seed is the one that's back from Genesis 12, verse 7. There's a where he says to you and your descendants. But it's really to you and to your seed. And it speaks of singular. But the revelation here is the seed he was talking about was Jesus himself. So the announcement or the promise that was spoken came to Abraham and to Christ. So the promise was spoken to Abraham and to Christ. The fulfillment of the promise to Abraham could not be accomplished without Christ. Christ was the fulfillment of the promise. But the promise took what happened there, the promise that was given to Abraham and to Christ. So that you can't separate what Abraham experienced and what Christ has brought to us. The fulfillment of the promise could not be accomplished without Christ. The promise includes the redemption that Christ gained for us on the cross. So the promise to Abraham and the birth of Jesus are directly connected to all who believe. All who believe. All who believe. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, you got to believe something. You got to believe the Word. You got to believe what was spoken of Christ. You got to believe what He did for us. You have to believe to experience. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, here it is. By faith, by believing, we enter in to all that God spoke from the beginning. He spoke to Abraham, and we entered in, and we got the fulfillment of this in Christ. But if we don't, it's such an awesome thing. It's a very, when you stop and think about it, what time frame we're in compared to where Abraham was, how much more we have than what Abraham had. He was waiting for this. We saw the fulfillment of this. We're in a time where it should be easy to believe, and yet we find that unbelief still creeps up. Christ is the seed God spoke about in Genesis 12. Abraham, even though a great man of faith, was not able to cause anyone to have eternal life or to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. It is through faith in Christ Jesus that we have been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. For us, will we believe the impossible? Can we believe the impossible? Has God given us eternal life? Most Christians would say, yes. Are we living in God's kingdom today? Some Christians would say, yes. Are you seated with Christ in heavenly places? Few Christians would say, yes, I am. There are many promises that the Bible talks about that we should be yes and amen. Of all the promises of God are yes and amen, but are they yes and amen in us? Are we saying yes and amen? Are we believing in the promises of God? Are we believing that when Christ died, there was healing in the atonement? Do we really believe that? Do I have the identifying characteristic of a true Christian? Faith. How am I doing? Well, that's what I've been checking myself out with lately. It's a good reason we're called believers. Believing on Jesus is what caused me to be born again. In Mark it says, if you believe, Mark 11, if you believe, you receive. There's something about receiving the promises and believing. We as Christians must never forget that it is by faith that we enter into God's promises without exception. There's no way to experience the promises of God without faith. It's just the way it is. We must believe. We must believe. So this is right after the Jesus fed the 5,000, and they found him again, and they're enamored over these miracles. And then they ask him, what must we do to do the... Or they ask him, what must we do to do the works of God? To do the work God requires. That's how it says in this translation. What must we do to do the work God requires? And Jesus, of course, gives a real short little answer. What is the work? It says, the work of God is to believe in the one that He has sent. Just believe Him. There isn't any other work. You don't have to go out and... should we feed the poor? Yes. God will direct us to do that. But somewhere we get confused and we say, I should get a list of the things I should do as a Christian. And then I take the list and I go out and do these things. I start feeding the poor and doing this and doing that. Well, we can do that and miss the point. The point is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit, and do what He says. Because when He says, I'm going to do this through you, are we going to say, be it unto me, Lord. Here I am, Lord, send me. I mean, it's more about what God is saying today in your heart. Are you going to agree with it and say, yes, yes, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I believe. And not doubting what He might say. Let's see, where am I here? So Abraham believed in God and it was counted him as righteousness. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and it says what? We've been clothed with Him. We've been clothed with righteousness. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you enter into Him. Who's righteous here? You or Jesus? It's Jesus that's righteous. Where am I? I'm in Him. I'm identified with Him. By faith, I no longer live. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's all about believing who I am. You look in the mirror and you can get disheartened, especially as you get older. Sometimes when we're young, we can fool ourselves. But by faith in God, I can proclaim who I am.
So the birth of Isaac and of Jesus are very relevant for us today. Both births were impossible to man and required faith. Do not let the impossible keep you from entering into God's promises. If something seems impossible, don't let that stop your faith. God is the God of the impossible.
Just about done.
Yeah, I might get done a little early.
So this is an encounter with Nicodemus, and Jesus declares, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old, Nicodemus says. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb. You can see, where's Nicodemus? He's just thinking out of his natural mind. Paul says we need spiritual thoughts mixed with spiritual words. We can't just go with the natural. For Nicodemus, being born again was, you're crazy. You're only born once. You can't be born again. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can this be? He doesn't sound like he's had a breakthrough yet. It takes faith to believe. And I just want to say, if you've heard anything today, if God's been speaking to your heart in any way about His faith and believing, I would encourage each one of us to respond with, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe the Word is true. I believe, and when I read the Bible from now on, I'm going to believe what God says is true. I'm not going to doubt. Take a stand. Take a stand for the Lord. Don't harden your heart again.
if there's been any softening at all. It goes on, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We should never stop at that. We should always read the next verse, because so many unbelievers think that Christianity is all about condemnation. "But for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned." Wow. So our sin, which held us captive, Jesus set us free. I mean, that, you might say, well, did it really happen? Yes, it really happened. He really set you free. His blood paid the price for your sin. You are free. You are free. Whether you believe it or not, that's another question. But you are free. And you get to experience it when you do believe it. The message is for all who have ears to hear. If you've heard today, then be like Abraham and Mary. Believe God. Be it unto me, according to your word. Turn from the kingdom of darkness and receive the kingdom of Jesus, where you'll find righteousness, peace, and joy. Every day. That's the characteristics of the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit every day. Regardless of circumstances. In the presence of my enemies, He sets up a table for me. What do you want, Steve? Melon? Soup? But there's this war. Don't worry about the war. What would you like? Relax. Relax. I got this thing under control. All the stuff that's going around, and I've had a kind of a year where there's been a lot of stuff going around. And if you were to chart my faith, it might have been more like this. But it's coming. And I'm hoping it flatlines a little higher someplace. We go through things. First Peter said this, "Even though now for a little while you've been distressed by various trials, it's for the proving of your faith, which is more precious than gold, even though refined by fire." So, praise God for the trials. Right? If you once believed God and unbelief has robbed you, just repent and return to the one who loves you. He never changes. He's the same yesterday. He's the same forever. And His words to you are yes and amen. And I want, because I know the Holy Spirit speaks to us. That's why we received the Holy Spirit, God in us. Because He speaks to us. And He tells us things. And some of those things are promises. Hang on. Don't quit. Hang on to the promise of God. Hang on to what He said about you. Hang on to the words that He has. And please, when you read this, don't question what's in here. This is gold. This is solid stuff. You can count on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, but don't question it. It's true. It's the truth. And His promises are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus, of which we are if we believe. We're in Him. So the promises have been given to you through Christ. It's not that you've been so good, it's that Jesus was good. It's that He is the one that we count on. So all of the promises are yes and amen to you today in Christ Jesus. Every one of them. And to me too. need to stand on that and hold on to that. For the days are coming when things might get a little dicey.
Well, I want to laugh about that, not about His promises. I want to laugh that we can stand in the midst of whatever comes our way. We have what it takes to make it to the end. In Christ Jesus, we will not fail, none of us, not one. Put your faith in Him, believe in Him, He will get us through to the end. And His promises are true. And I'd like to just close together with a prayer for Chris. I want to believe that today, as we pray, Chris can be healed now. Father God, I thank You that Your promises are true. And Lord, forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive me, Lord, for the times I've doubted or really haven't expressed my faith, really haven't spoken with confidence the faith that You've given. But today, Lord, we want to have confidence in You. Confidence in the promises that have been given from the beginning and now have been fulfilled in Christ. So we know, Lord, that we pray not because we're so good, but because Jesus is good. And that today, You said, Jesus, that greater works will we do than You did. We want to see the greater works. Lord, we want to see this healing. We want to see revival, Lord. We want to see the people in Bemidji all come to know You. And Lord, it's not about us. It's about You, Lord. So, Lord, give us a chance, Lord, as a church, to steward Your power and Your healing, Lord. That we would not glorify ourselves, but that You'd be glorified, Lord, in everything. So, Father, heal Chris right now. Touch her right now, Lord. Restore her, Lord. Reverse the damage. just give her new body parts, Lord, right now. Lord, completely restore her, Lord. Completely restore her, Lord, and fulfill the promises that You've given her and John concerning America. Lord, they have a call, and they're going through this time. But Lord, build them up in Your faith too, Lord. But heal them, Lord. Heal Chris. And we just believe that even right now, Lord. And if there's a prophetic word in the body right now concerning that, speak it out. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If anybody has a vision or a word of knowledge or He can. Thank You, Lord.
I saw a number 7.
What's that?
I saw a number 7.
Oh.
Okay.
Yep. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Well, in your journeys today and next week, I just encourage you
Continue to believe. Just continue to believe and not doubt. Don't let, if doubt kind of comes in, kick it out. Take it captive and kick it out. Don't let it take over. I think Bob's going to take over though.